Welcome to a Bite of CS, Computer Science Education Conversations. I'm Corey Rogers, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Bridget Castelluccio. This is episode two. So today we'll be discussing Universal Design for Learning in Computing, which is on page 25 of Hello World's The Big Book of Computing Pedagogy with Tim Dixon. UDL, or Universal Design for Learning, is a framework for considering tools and resources that reduce barriers and support all learners. It is one of my passions. So to combine UDL and computer science, I'm so excited. UDL has three guidelines that are multiple means of engagement, representation, and action and expression. And you use those in order to design instructional activities to meet the needs of all learners. So you'll hear Tim share ways that he provides multiple means of representation for English language learners. But as we know with the UDL framework, these are great strategies for all learners. So Tim's been in education for 29 years, so he's got tons of experience and expertise to share with us. I think you'll hear that he's just a lovely human, which is part of why we invited him to be here with us today. Tim was an elementary teacher in Maryland, but now he works for the Maryland Center for Computing Education, supporting educators with learning strategies to teach computer science while also supporting English language learners. Yeah. So today we're going to look at an article from the Pedagogy book about Universal Design for Learning, which is a passion of mine, but then also how that relates to computer science. So one of the reasons we're doing the podcast is because we are creating some courses and we started to look for computer science podcasts for educators, and we were finding not a lot of options. So we are excited to be recording today and speaking with someone who's done a lot of work in computer science and Universal Design for Learning and working with diverse learners and ELL learners so that we can have multiple modalities of ways to integrate computer science with diverse needs of students. So we are excited to have Tim here. Tim, would you introduce yourself and also tell us a little bit of your background to familiarize our audience?
Sure, Bridget. Corey also, nice to meet with you guys. My name's Tim Dixon. I retired a year ago from 28 years of teaching elementary and school, all content area, but mainly computer science. Worked in schools that had large ELL, English language learner, or multiple language learner populations. They grew, the longer I was in teaching, the more they grew. And I've enjoyed working in that area, learning pedagogies across all spectrums of content areas, so I could kind of match them up and support students better. I currently work for MCCE, which is the Maryland Computer Center for Education, in a somewhat consulting role, kind of a big word for not getting paid and doing a lot of work sometimes. It's really fun. I get to meet a lot of different groups and get to work on different projects, doing the Scratch Educational Community Project, currently integrating Spanish into Scratch projects, Spanish or ELL also support into those, working with a CalSIG project, taking Mirabear's Cal development program and integrating it with language supports to help language learners. So doing a lot of things with language learners and enjoying it very much.
And Tim is another Maryland connection, which is always really fun. And Tim took a class with me last year, which I'm hearing he was retired, but he was volunteering and a wonderfully active participant in the course. So that doing things and not getting paid, I feel like sometimes is just educator, right? Like I just keep learning and doing so we can be better for kids and teachers. So
that's great.
I know we're going to talk about the article, but I know you've done a ton of work, Tim, like you were mentioning, with computer science and connecting it to language learners. So will you share a little bit about that work and what that has looked like with the teachers and then in classrooms with kids? Because I think folks will be really interested to hear what you're doing.
Well, as I spoke in my experience in teaching, I noticed we had more and more students coming into our classrooms that had no English language skills. And a quick observation I made was that they could do code.org, they could do Scratch with very limited support, sometimes no support. They could go through, especially if it had a lot of visuals, they could follow those visuals, and literally had students come into my, when I did the computer lab, crying because they could not communicate with their peers, the teacher. It was a very unsettling environment for them. But once they got on the computer and went through code.org or start to create in Scratch, it changed for them. They took ownership. They felt part of the community. And that really inspired me to try to work and make connections between WIDA standards, which are the standards that English language learner teachers use to help support their students. And so I started to make connections. I started to notice that computer science standards really aligned in a lot of ways to the WIDA standards. And so I kind of recruited at first just one or two teachers in my building that were ELL or multi-language learner teachers to use it. You know, here, try this with your students, see if this helps. And it really turned out they loved it. Those students that had very limited skills for English language just totally enjoyed, because it was something they were on a level playing field with the other students. And it really gave them confidence. It gave them ownership of what they were doing. They felt they could compete on that level playing field. And they really started to change. I could see just their confidence level in the class. And even in other classes, when I got like a math teacher to incorporate, or another content area, incorporate Scratch or code.org or whatever, they felt very comfortable. And then one time I was kind of challenging the students. I switched and we did code.org in Spanish. And So what happened was that the ELL learning students, who always had to ask for support, became the experts. And they got to help the language learner. And the whole dynamic of flipping, nobody was offended. Like the English proficient students immediately sought out the English language learner students for support, but they enjoyed it. Like both sides enjoyed that role reversal. And that got me excited too, because I thought, my goodness, here's a kid that's going to go home and feel such ownership in their own education, because today they were the ones that were the expert in a content area. And how powerful is that to help our kids feel welcome into an educational environment?
That's a genius idea.
It is. I wrote it down.
Well, and think about the empathy you're helping them to have for each other, right? Mm-hmm. Like, especially for those young kids, I think.
We stole that concept. I stole the concept, or I'd heard it for other like students that had cognitive disabilities. But a lot of times, to the URL points, they could do computer science, understand it at a high level, because it engaged them. Something about it, the way it was presented, caught their attention. And we would take students that were two grades maybe below cognitively in a special ed program, and they would become the expert in how to solve computer science programs, either code.org or Scratch. They would figure it out. And the joy I saw in their face is similar. I get emotional because that was great. And those kids would just, you could tell that it just literally changed their attitudes and their engagement levels. And I even had parents, I would contact me and say, thank you so much, because my child today felt ownership of what they were doing. Or they felt so happy in class, and typically that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Just different examples like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
which goes all into anyone that's familiar with Universal Design for Learning. It goes into like, are you engaging and do you know the strengths of your students and empowering them mm-hmm. to guide their own learning? It's all about firm goals, but flexible pathways. So multiple modalities of representation and expression. So anyone that's, so you can tell now how much I love UDL, but yeah. it's those experiences that are huge for those students. And then they see themselves, you know, as more than just a student with a different language.
You're no longer a passenger, you're a driver mm-hmm. your outcomes. And that's so powerful for them.
That's a great quote.
A couple of projects I'm proud of, very proud of and excited, not just because I think it really helps students down the line. And we had great people that supported it. We presented to all the multi-language learner supervisors in the state of Maryland. We presented the connections between the WIDA standards and the computer science standards. So it was a win-win because, as you know, in professional development, you can't just go in and tell people, oh, this is great for this area, but you have to do it. May not really help you, but this is what we're doing. But we showed them those connections that we've talked about, the language development, how computer standards, computer science can help with language development. It can help with collaborative, getting the students to engage collaboratively, get them engaged, and computational thinking and how it breaks down things. And those skills they can learn, even though they're not proficient at English, they can still learn those skills that will help them down the road. And also, if we don't get the students, we said, interested in elementary and middle, they will not sign up for the high school classes because is almost everywhere universally, they get pulled for support, which is understandable, but they miss computer science concepts a lot of times. So if you don't show them the why and how to do it early on, why would they sign up in high school? It's too late. We have to get them involved. So that was our message to the teachers, our supervisors, and some of them bought in, but especially ironically in the county I was working in at the time, Prince George's County. And lo and behold, the supervisor was a person I'd known for 20, 25 years, but her name I did not recognize because she got married. So when I found out who she was, I said, oh my God. I said, Melissa, I've known you for 25 years. You know, we have to get together because her husband's works in computer science. So she was naturally on board. But we built that connection. And then we worked with Loyola University here in Baltimore, which is close to Prince George's County. And we developed a class we backward engineered. We took teachers that were very proficient, that were ELD teachers, they call them this year, English language development teachers or multi-language learner teachers, that already knew how to support their learners and pulled them out and showed them how it connected to math or could help teach them the language skills to acquire the concepts. So we knew they were rock stars in that area. And I had worked, like I said previously, with three or four of them, got to be good friends at my school. So I knew they were very eager to learn. They loved trying new methods with their students. So I took some ELL classes so I could understand the supports. And we formed a class with Loyola where we took those ELL or ELD teachers and we taught them computer science. And we showed them, because reading Maya Israel, reading a lot of research on getting teachers that don't know the computer science to integrate it, you really have to tell them, show them why, and you have to show them what computer science is. Otherwise, why would they do it? They're busy people. They don't have time to incorporate other concepts. But once we showed them cognitive thinking and how it pertains to ELLs, how it can support them, how executive function has been researched and shown that when you learn coding, your IQ goes up for most people, but if we keep those students that are struggling with the language out of those classes, they fall even farther behind. So it was critical to get that was our selling point. We have to get these kids in. So our supervisor bought into it. We worked with Loyola. She helped us recruit. A lot of times recruiting teachers is a problem because they get 300 emails and they just delete, delete, delete. But when they're supervisor, we targeted a specific group, just those teachers, ELL, English Language Development, Multi-Language Learner teachers, targeted just that group because we wanted to be specific about who was going to learn. When their supervisor sent them an email, they pretty much had to open it. It was more powerful because when they knew that their supervisor was interested in something, and she has a great connection. We are blessed because she has a great connection, rapport with her teachers. We also paid them. My stipulation was we cannot have teachers go into professional development because we all do it. We want to learn, but we never get paid, and it gets discouraging.
Yeah, it does.
This was going to take place post-COVID, and as most of us know, things have changed. Post-COVID, teachers, at least in our area of the country, are just not doing professional development unless they're paid. They're tired of it.
Yes.
And we gave them college credits because a lot of times, or professional development toward their recertification. And a lot of times that, for whatever reason, you can't get paid and get professional development credits. Never can understand the concept, but that's the way it is, at least in Maryland. But we made sure they got six because it was going to be a course that had rigor to it, and they were going to have to put in work. It wasn't just a one night, okay, here you go, write a lesson plan. It was a rigorous course that took 12 weeks or 12 sessions. And we walked them through what is computer science. You know, how can we show them examples? Because a lot of research I've read recently said, don't tell teachers what to do into how to integrate something into your content area. Give them lessons that show them how to do it so they don't have to do a lot of development on their own, because they just don't have time. And they may enjoy the integration ideas and concepts, but they don't have time to sit down usually and do them themselves. So we gave them lessons, gave them examples, showed them, walked through the My Book of Pedagogy was a big support for this class that we did with them. We showed them those connections, the URL connections. And I sent you the reflections, because if the reflections I sent you don't get you excited about teaching outside of the computer science content area, other teachers, to show them how they can integrate and it can be a powerful tool for their students, nothing ever will. Because you go through there and I get emotional reading the responses, because they said, oh my goodness, we've been doing this. This is what we do to a large extent, but we just never called it debugging, or we just, applying extraction or decomposition. And our students are engaged when they did it. So some of the teachers that tried these lessons or tried the program Scratch or code.org or whatever in their classrooms, an unplugged activity, got so excited. They said, oh my goodness, the kids are engaged. This is so much easier.
Yep.
And it was just little things like that that really were inspirational to me, because a lot of times we do things, at least I do, and nothing comes of it. You work hard, you roll out a professional development, you roll out an initiative, and it just kind of falls flat for whatever reason. There's many, but this was nice. We had a professor at Loyola, English language learner teacher, that taught English language learner teachers the concepts of WIDA and how to integrate with students, and she was wonderful, but she didn't have any idea how computer science connected when we started. And to see her enthusiasm as we went through, she would come and we just talked and people showed her the connections, and she literally was giddy like a little kid. She said, oh my goodness, this is so beneficial to my teachers and how they'll be able to engage once they get in the classroom. And then we had another person at Loyola that was really good with, understood computer science and how to integrate it. So the three of us worked together and designed the program. And that was very, very exciting. I hope they replicate it. That takes us to a point of multimodal communication.
Yes.
So are you familiar with multimodal? I'm sure you are, but just to clarify, that representing visually different tools you can use to represent word responses. If you're an English language learner, you may not be able to say the words because your tool chest of vocabulary is so limited a lot of times. So you don't even know how to express yourself back, but you could do a scratch project where the characters act out what you understand the concept need. Now you can take it to the next level. You can use translation in Scratch. You can put the words in English, or you can put the words in your native language and then have them translated to English. So you can communicate with the teacher and you're taking one of those steps out, cognitive overload. I love it. You're taking one of those cognitive load roadblocks, so to speak, out. Because you just worry about your answer in your native language and you're done. That one less step you had to take. I don't have to translate now. Oh my goodness. If that's not, if you don't see that as a game changer, you're not awake at the wheel.
Yeah.
Yes. And you wonder why, to your point, you wonder why students or even teachers in a professional development shut down and don't respond.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't have the wait time, or they verbally, we use the acronyms, you know, a lot of times we throw out concepts that we could explain in first grade language and everybody would understand, but we try to be sophisticated, which is fine. And we try to articulate our thoughts in a very wordy way. And half the people just go, no, what they're trying to say. But for that, you know, if I can do a picture, you know, when you do the twister mat in kindergarten and you put an object on it for computer science unplugged and you want the student to write an algorithm to get to the object on the twister mat, you use arrows. You don't use words.
Right.
You know, and being multimodal, there's all those ways that you can express yourself with, you know, you're taking that student that can only respond on a first grade level, and with computer science and Scratch, you know, being able to translate, you're moving them up to like a third or fourth grade level. How does that change the game? We talked about ownership and being welcome in the classroom. How does that change the game for that student? I mean, that's powerful.
It is.
Because our whole life, we want other people to understand us in relationships and just anywhere in life, we want to be understood. And if we can't be understood, is your relationship going to work? Is your job going to work? Is your just outside activities, are they going to work very well? Probably not.
Yep. Well, and then it goes back to like that universal design. If we start realizing what barriers our learners might have and planning for those so that they have that success and that multiple modalities and maybe and like the visuals, that helps a lot of students when we think of the complex vocabulary of computer science. Are there visuals? Can they make visuals and sketch notes to really capture their thinking? It just adds a whole new level of learning for any student and gives them a lot of tools in their toolkit to be able to access the content.
I think giving teachers these tools that help them to make sure that all the kids are meeting those expectations is pretty incredible. I mean, I feel like the three of us are biased, but I feel like Scratch is a wonderful tool to help kids communicate to you, whatever it is that you need them to make their thinking visible for you.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know, you have kids in your class and maybe you misjudged them and you didn't think they knew very much. Yeah. But then later on you discovered they knew things, but somehow we as teachers weren't able to reach them. But through computer science, by giving them a chance to meet their passions for, you know, and this is perfect to me for UDL, they were able to pick their project.
Yep.
All really relevant. That ELL student that came in and you thought, they really don't know anything. But when you touched on their culture, you know, and did it All About Me at the beginning of the year in Scratch, if you're familiar with the All About Me in Scratch.
Yep.
They got to represent their country and do it in their language. They blew you away. And you said, oh my goodness, this person really is functioning at a pretty good level. But I misjudged them. Maybe you guys never misjudged.
Well,
Plenty.
Yes, I think.
But, you know, as an educator, that's why this has become my passion, to give those kids a chance, because I really do feel all of them. I've worked with autistic children, and they were able to work in the computer science field with code.org or Scratch and be able to maneuver through fairly well, especially if they were in a pair. And they, of course, were happy because they weren't pulled out and they weren't, quote, perceived as the least, having the least ability in the classroom. And they presented, you know, I had those kids sometimes present to the class, and the joy in their faces.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
Well, Tim Dixon, not shockingly to me at all, I feel like we are reminded by you that teaching's a work of heart, right? That we do this because we love kids and we love, I'm going to get emotional too, that we love educators. So, and I feel like the heart of it today is that we've got to find ways for kids to communicate with us, their needs, but then also what they know and they're able to do. And so I think it's tremendous, the work you're doing.
Absolutely.
So kudos to you, and for like helping us connect that to UDL, because I do think teachers also need that support and a framework to connect what they're doing and their hard work and their energy to know that it's helping them to get to all their kids. So it's just lovely. So thank you so much for joining us. It's just amazing. Oh,
can I ask one question before
we go? Of course.
Because you said, what one takeaway or one question did you?
Yeah.
So I was good. I listened to directions.
Of course you did.
So the UDL framework typically addresses one student at a time. So Bridget can correct me if I'm wrong. She's the expert.
Oh, I don't know.
We'll designate her as the expert. So it addresses that student individually, as far as multiple means of engagement, means of representation, means of action and expression, one of those. But what do we do? Pair programming is a huge component.
Yes.
For us computer science teachers. So do you know of any research, or is this an area that could possibly be explored? How do you correctly match up different learning styles in a pair programming environment so they don't either conflict and take away from both students, or how does that enrich that pair programming? And my example would be a student that needs the information read to them, but you inadvertently match them up with a student that's easily distracted, ADHD or whatever. So if one student in the pair is hearing the directions read to them, Bridget, what happens to the student that's easily distracted?
So my teacher elementary hat says it could actually be beneficial if maybe you have some stopping points and have like some discussion and engagement between the two and chunk up what's being read, so that even that ADHD student or that, you know, with that attention, so there's stopping points that engage, so it's not just sitting and listening. If it's an immersive reader, which a lot of our programs do where it's highlighting, then make sure that both students are paying attention to the highlights and maybe have a task for that other student. Like, you know, tally some vocabulary words every time you hear, you know, algorithm or whatever might be key to the lesson, and have them have a role beyond just the sitting and listening. So I think it actually can be helpful. It's just scary as the educator to go, oh, is this going to be a hot mess? Because they need different things. But it can also build empathy as well. So
yeah, that was my takeaway thought. But how much research has been done on UDL pair programming?
I think you found a new research topic.
Yeah.
We know some people.
Please reach out to us at cspodcast@gwaea.org and use our hashtag BYTECS, that's BYTE, on social media.
So keep the conversations going until the next bite of CS.